Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about happiness and health. I have with me Debbie Lynn Toomey, who is a nurse, and she is also an award-winning speaker, author, corporate trainer, and coach. She is the founder of Ultimate Healing Journey, and she believes in a holistic approach to optimal health and happiness. Debbie trains companies and organizations how to use happiness skills to boost their productivity, performance, and relationships. And she's created programs and workshops for schools, universities, hospitals, organizations, and companies. Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Pat, for having me on.
I'm delighted that you are here, and I wanted to talk with you today about how did you get interested in the whole area of happiness?
Happiness has been something that a lot of people that I've been working with and take care of, something that they've been looking for. And in that quest would land them to making decisions that may not be the healthiest, creating negative habits and landing them eventually into hospital. So happiness is one of my core values. I love helping people feel better and making them feel good. And that's just something that I've always has been so important for me ever since I was a little girl in the Philippines. I love teaching people how to feel better, helping them feel good about themselves and where they're at in life, and to be able to use natural approaches or techniques to feel better.
Now, I know you've talked about this in relation to patients, but how does it apply to business owners? And in this case, my audience is legal nurse consultants who are self-employed. They work with attorneys who are handling cases with medical issues. How can you apply that concept for our group?
Well, this happiness is a skill, and it's a research-proven science in the field of positive psychology, and there are many different techniques that people can use to help them with stress, to help them feel more confident, to help them feel more productive and more focused, and be able to just feel that they're making a difference, that they matter. So there are different skills such as gratitude, mindfulness, self-compassion that people can use on the go in the midst of their busy day. So it could look like maybe perhaps doing a purposeful pause before you send an email to an attorney who might be your next client or your next lead. But you're just because you're new in the business, you might feel intimidated or may not feel that you've got what it takes to do it. So using some form of gratitude, maybe self-compassion or mindfulness, and just checking in with yourself and being grateful for what you have and how far you've come along might be just enough to boost your confidence and be able to then take that next step, which is making that phone call.
Can you give us a detail of what that would look like if you were focused on gratitude? How would that play out?
Focusing on gratitude is, for one thing, is an instant happiness booster. When we're happy, then our energy goes up. And when our energy goes up, other things go up. Our ability to feel confident and to concentrate and to speak articulately and to feel more inviting and more attractive and more magnetic to other people. So when we could use simple my gratitude skills, it could be just as a little as being grateful for arriving to work earlier, 5 minutes earlier, or perhaps getting a recognition from a friend or a colleague about something that you did at work. So anything that can fall under the category of gratitude can help people feel better. And when you feel better, then you're able to then produce and be more productive and your performance goes up. Mm-hmm. So as far as that goes, just a simple technique of gratitude has a positive ripple effect in many areas of, you know, that you could be touching upon that particular day.
You know, what you're saying reminds me of something that I heard last night when I was reviewing a coaching session that was done by a man that I'm starting to work with. And he said that at the end of every day, you should write 6 lines of what you are grateful for that happened that day.
Yeah. And to take it a step further, writing the reason why you're grateful for those particular things that you took the time to write down also makes a big difference. Because we could be in a state of gratitude for our husband or our children. And we could say that repeatedly. I'm grateful for my husband. I'm grateful for my home. I'm grateful for my kids. But if we just take the time and ask ourselves, why am I grateful for my husband today? What was it that he did? Or what is it about him that I'm grateful for? So that really challenges us to really dig deeper into why we're really grateful. And that's the booster right there of the positive emotion. It makes it last longer.
Absolutely. I know that you're familiar with the concept of legal nurse consultants because we've talked about their role, and they work with high stakes cases, often demanding clients who have a great deal of stress associated with how they're handling their cases. If a plaintiff attorney takes the wrong case, for example, and ends up spending $50,000 or $100,000 on it and losing it because it wasn't a winnable case to begin with, that creates a lot of stress. If a defense attorney is working with an insurance carrier and the insurance carrier is not happy with the results that the defense attorney is getting, then the defense carrier can just yank all the cases away from the law firm. So there's a lot of tension associated with how cases are handled, conclusions that legal nurse consultants reach, how much they bill for their services, and whether that amount is perceived to be a realistic amount. And that in turn generates a lot of stress in the legal nurse consultant when her clients or his clients are stressed. What techniques can you share with us that would help our audience with those issues? And specifically the stress.
Yeah. One of the best ways to handle any stress is to take care or to do preventative measures. And what I mean by that is setting yourself up for success by means of sleep, getting enough sleep. It's one of those things that people say, oh yes, you do need your sleep. Yes, it does make a big difference because when we are tired, then we arrive at work stressed already or tired and we're not at our best. So when we sleep, get enough sleep, then that's one way to deal with stress. Because when we are fully rested, we're able to take a step back from the situation and not automatically become more reactive. We're able to kind of take a stand back and pause and then have a chance to respond more clearly or be able to see a different angle in how to handle a certain situation, how to approach the person or the company a little bit better. So sleep is very important. And also, I believe in another preventative technique, which is something that might some people might think, oh, okay, that's a little bit out there, but it does work. And it's creating an intention. Before you go to sleep, you create the intention that you're going to wake up fully rested. And when you wake up, you create the intention that a good day. Because when you create that intention, our mind will do its best to make that happen. A good day is going to be different every day. But when we declare that, then we are in best situation to take care or to be in alignment for that particular intention. So I believe in a lot of preventative ways of managing stress. Because once we're there at work, we're going to be pulled in so many different directions. So the more we can arm ourselves with simple nourishing skills and skills that's going to help us prepave our day, the more powerful and the more confident we will be that day.
That sounds like a wonderful strategy. And I know that a lot of life looks easier when you're well rested and you're not running on that ragged nerve.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that you shared on your website, and I thought it would be so useful for our listeners to follow a model that you shared with five R's in it, which were the five ways to unleash your inner superhero, so that you could defeat work and life stress. Could you share with us what those five R's are?
The five R's, yeah, definitely, I'd love to. The five R's had to do with the article talked about how we could start unleashing our own superheroes, because we all are our own superhero. We just need to learn how to unleash it, and we need to own it. And so I shared the five R's. The first one is reflect. Okay, we take so much time and we put so much investment in learning and studying other things, new techniques, new curriculums, new studies, etc. But we don't take the time to study ourselves. It's very good to just stop and reflect and think about your life, what it is that you've experienced in last year, the last 5 years. It's depending on how far back you want to go. But the whole idea is just stop, reflect, and think about all the positive things that's occurred in your life, or even obstacles, and thinking about reflecting what it is that you did in those circumstances that allowed you to rise above. And when you can start noticing them, then think, looking at the pattern, which one, which technique, which strengths did you use the most in those circumstances? Because the more we could reflect, take the time to do that, then we could, recognize the pattern. And the more we recognize the pattern, then we're more likely to say, hey, that is me. I do that. That helps me overcome this. That helped me when this happened. The more we remember, the more we'll be likely to use it. So reflecting, thinking back about past experiences, recognizing, owning what you see or what you normally do, owning your strengths, remembering, using reminders also helps. So in my article, I talked about how I have my little Lego keychain Wonder Woman. That's a little reminder for me because that is fun. And also it's a nice reminder for me that says, hey, you've got something unique to offer other people to help the people become better or to make this world a better place. Or quotes. I love quotes as well. So that's reflect, recognize, remember. Number four is read. The more we read about our strengths, the stronger it'll get. So one of my top strengths is gratitude. And I know I've talked about that already in your on your call here, but it's one of my top strengths, and it has helped me in so many areas of my life. Whether it's work, feeling like I'm in a stuck, dead-end job, it helped me go in to work in a positive framework, and thus allowed me to attract my next position. And gratitude helped me when I was helping my mom and deal with cancer. And it helped me when I, it helped me communicate with my children. So gratitude is just, I saw a thread of gratitude in all areas of my life, and I use that even more. And because I know that gratitude is my top strength, I read up on it even more. And I use that in my workshops, and I teach other people about it. Because the more I read about it and teach about it, the stronger it becomes within me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
And then the fifth one is...
You're feeding it.
Yes. And the fifth one is reaping. So it's one thing when we could reflect and study our own strengths and have our own list. It's always nice to ask other people also what they think of you. And there's nothing wrong with that. People are more than willing to share what positive things, qualities you possess, and see if there's any comparisons. And if there isn't, own the one that's been given to you. Reap the benefits, because we're so conditioned sometimes to be shy or bashful or turn away any good positive compliments or any forms of gratitude or appreciation or recognition that people give us. We're just so conditioned to say, oh no, it's not me. That wasn't really me. It was nothing, you know? And people would say, hey, you did a good job. That was really great. I appreciate you doing that. We wouldn't have done it without you. Some people would say, you know what? No, that wasn't me. It was nothing, or I was just lucky. We turn those good deeds away. So it's good for us to start reaping more of these positive compliments or recognitions to help us feel better. So those are the five: reflect, recognize, remember, read, and reap.
Mm-hmm. And they're catchy and they're memorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
As nurses, we sometimes feel like we have an excellent grasp of what causes disease, but there's a lot we don't understand about how our bodies handle stress. Any small business owner is prone to stress. I want to share details about something I think is important for every LNC to understand: how your mind and your body interrelate to keep you healthy or sick. Kay Rice challenges assumptions about Western medicine and presents a different model of thinking: mind-body medicine. She asks us to think about medical care in a way that will help you realize why a pill for every ill could harm you, how Western medicine and Ayurvedic medicine differ, the basis of mind-body medicine and how that can help you, how you can help your body fight disease, and the impact of stress on your body, and finally, how you can harness your body's intelligence to create a better balance in your life. Order the Mind-Body Connection, which is our one-hour online training, at http://lnc.tips/mindbody. That link again is http://lnc.tips/mindbody. And use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Let's return to the show.
Could you talk with us a little bit about happiness and its relationship to productivity? Because productivity is something that's of concern for people who own their own businesses. How much are they getting done? It seems like when you're in business, there's a never-ending list of things that need to be accomplished. How does that intertwine with happiness?
Mm-hmm. Happiness is a positive emotion, and it's been shown to boost productivity. And the way it does that is, and it can be different in different cultures, you know, anything, I would say that anything that brings a person happiness will boost your energy. will boost your energy in a way that's going to make you feel good about what you're doing, feel good about the challenge that you have in front of you, feel good about how you look at yourself. So the more we use happiness for productivity purposely, the better. So it could look at like a happiness booster would be, I like to share with people that one of the things to help us manage with stress at work is doing something outside of work that helps us feel good. So it could be as much as going golfing, doing something that you love. The more you do it, the more you feel good going back into the workplace. And the more you feel like, hey, I have something good to look forward to, or I just did something productive with myself. So happiness increases our energy. And when our energy goes up, then creativity goes up. And just our ability to see the whole situation under a different frame light, we're able to see it in a broader scheme of things instead of feeling stuck or feeling that we are cornered in a particular situation. So happiness can help us really become more innovative and do things faster because we don't feel like we're being dragged down or that that we are wasting our time. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It just sounds like it's a mood lifter for sure,
yeah.
Which then influences your ability to concentrate and to complete the tasks that you've identified that you need to.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them, there's a great study that has been done on play. And this is for adults. They found that when they do an activity that is playful, it actually boosts their ability to be creative. Their innovation goes up. Their ability to socialize or be engaging goes up. Their productivity goes up and their performance goes up. And it's something just as little as play. So play could mean, what does that look like during a day for nurses, for legal nurse consultants? That could mean that maybe going to wear something just a little bit different, perhaps wearing a playful color that's still business-like, but something a little bit different, or wearing something, a bracelet or a jewelry that reminds you of something that makes you happy. It could mean as simple as using a pen that is that you got from a conference where you met somebody who's really kind and just, you know, very, very generous. Play could seem different in many different situations. It could mean going on taking a different route to work and just learning how to maneuver the traffic in a different way and getting there faster. So just being creative with play in different ways is a booster in our positive emotion.
And on a side note, my son is developing a computer game and is finding that in the mainstream, there are a lot more people playing games that are attracted to games that bring them happiness. This mm-hmm. game is nonviolent and has a figure that is exploring different universes. Some of the computer mm-hmm. games are very violent and don't generate much feelings of happiness. Mm-hmm. But in general, the people in the gaming world are upbeat and lively, and they love what they do, and they're happy, mm-hmm. and they're fun to be around.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when you can engage another person. One of the things I love to do after lunch is I would engage a colleague and say, hey, let's do our stairs. So we would just take 5 minutes or maybe two, and we'd just go all the way down. We're at the fifth level. So we'd walk all the way down to the first level, then go all the way up to five and then back down again. So that was our play. That was our way of getting away from the desk, from the office, from patient care. It was with something that mm-hmm. we were doing together. We were having fun. We were able to chat. and we were doing something positive for our body and our mind. That was our play.
Tell us a little bit more about self-care for nurses. How well do we handle this, and what could we be doing better?
Self-care for nurses is something that I believe we need to start learning more about in school so that we are able to do it and add it to our day professionally. That was never really something that was emphasized when I went to nursing school. It was all about patient-centered, which is great. That's what I went to nursing school for, is to take care of the patients. But now the healthcare industry has changed. Our workload is increasing. Even more, the demands are high. And so we're becoming more burnt out. And it's time to really embrace the self-care aspect in a professional setting. And I believe one of the ways that we could do that is adding ourselves to our patient workload. So if you have, say, if a nurse had 4 patients that day, or 5 patients, usually it's 5 now, add yourself to the list. When you can add yourself to the list, then you're more likely to take care of that person that's on the list, because we are so list driven, right? But at the same time, we need to add ourselves to our schedule, because so many times nurses work 12-hour shifts. I hear all the time, oh, I only went to the bathroom once, or I haven't gone to the bathroom, or, you know, I didn't eat my lunch, or I'm having my lunch as I'm trying to finish my documentation. We're multitasking and we're sacrificing ourselves so that we can get the job done. And I don't think we need to do that. I believe we should not do that, because it's an unhealthy practice. And it's going to make us become more resentful, stressed, burnt out, and feel like, you know, we don't matter. Because I feel nurses, and I'm sure you do too, we matter. We matter so much, and that we need to start taking care of ourselves in the workplace. So it's as simple as adding ourselves to our own schedule, to our own busy workload, so that we give ourselves permission to take care of that other person, which is us.
There was a law firm in the Philadelphia area that started filing lawsuits against hospitals because nurses were not being able to take their breaks, and yet they were not being given the equivalent amount of money. They weren't being compensated in any way for working straight through for 8 hours or 12 hours without a break. So the attorney came up with, in this law firm, came up with a theory that the hospitals had to pay back for those breaks that were never granted to the nurses. And the hospitals lost those lawsuits. They had to pay lots of money to the nurses under their employee who had not received the breaks that they were entitled to. So it's bad for the physiological part of being a nurse. It's bad for the employer in being the target of lawsuits. And I don't know if this practice stopped after the lawsuits became public. This attorney and this law firm went through pretty systematically and went after several major hospitals in the Philadelphia area and was successful with all of the suits.
It's a two-way street. First of all, we nurses need to own the fact that we need to take care of ourselves at work also, because we can't be martyrs. We can't not afford to take care of ourselves. We need to give ourselves permission to do that. And then also, we need to be able to take our breaks. And because the more we could say that we are worth taking the time to take care of ourselves, we are worth it, then I feel that other people, the hospitals, will feel that we are also.
And certainly with the aging population and with nursing shortages, which continue to loom on the horizon, employers want to make sure that nurses are taking care of themselves and that they can come to work every day.
And there's so many different factors that, you know, will help retention and loyalty and positivity in the workplace. But I feel it starts with the nurse. The nurse has the power to take care of themselves and to also the power to say, this is not for me anymore. Because we feel like we have a golden handcuff, or that we're helpless. But always knowing that we have a choice is enough sometimes to help us get through the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Debbie, our time has flown by, and I would love for you to be able to tell our listeners how they can find out more about you.
Oh, thank you. I have a website, healthandhappinessspecialist.com, and I'm also on Facebook under Debbie Lynn Toomey. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Debbie Lynn Toomey, and Twitter and Pinterest. UHJ Debbie Lynn is my Twitter handle as well as Pinterest.
All right.
I want to thank
Wonderful.
You, Pat. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It was delightful to have you here. So this has been Debbie Lynn Toomey, and that's spelled T-O-O-M-E-Y. And we've been talking about health and happiness, two important subjects for legal nurse consultants in running their businesses and in practicing their craft. Thanks to all of our listeners for being part of this show today. We hope it gave you some inspiration and helped you sit back and take a look and take a deep breath and appreciate the things that are going well in your life. Be sure to join us again next week for a new episode, and thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for being a part of this program. Check out our online training and books at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. Also, explore coaching with me at LNCAcademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And finally, join our continuing education program and get monthly trainings at LNCCEU.com. You'll get 2 online trainings each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. And look forward to having you tune into our programs again next week. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.